remain standing for the reading of the Scriptures together. Our text this morning will come from the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And we're going back to the passage that we read this past Lord's Day. And we're going to focus on verse 6, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. On page 1237 in your pew Bibles. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So this is the section that we read this past Sabbath morning. We looked at verses 6 through 9. And here we saw that those of faith are those who believe the Lord in whatsoever he says. Those of faith are those who trust the Lord. What is a Christian? Kids, let me ask the kids just for a minute. What is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means that you believe God. It means you believe what he says. That you trust whatever he says. Those of faith believe the Lord. And they are blessed. The scripture, verse 8, foreseeing. Remember this from this past Lord's Day morning. The scripture foresees. What does scripture do? It foresees. It proclaims. It declares. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. What did the scripture do? It preached the gospel to Abraham. Abraham heard the gospel. He heard the same gospel which you believe. If you are here this morning trusting in Christ alone to save you from your sins, then you believe the same gospel Abraham believed. You trust in the same Messiah in whom Abraham trusted. You cling to the same righteousness which Abraham clung to. Your faith. You are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Those of faith are those who are blessed. They're blessed with Abraham, verse 9, the man of faith. We were going to go ahead to verses 10 through 14 for this Lord's Day, but I kept being drawn back to verse 6 and what is said here of Abraham, that he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. These words are quoted from Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis 15, Abram is crying out for assurance. He's a man in need of assurance. This happens throughout the Bible. God's people, his own children, even those who grow strong in faith, giving glory to God, they still need assurance. And what does he do? Time and time and time again. Whether it is the Lord speaking to Abram, God speaking to Gideon, Joshua, the Lord Jesus with his disciples, the risen and ascended Christ to the Apostle Paul, what does he do again and again? He assures. He gives assurance. And in Genesis 15, having been once again assured of the promises of God, There it is stated. After the Lord has assured Abram, having stated once again the covenant promises, there it is said that Abram believed God. It means that Abram trusted. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you're a truster. It means you are a rester. And where do you rest? You rest upon the person. You rest upon the Word. You rest upon what is spoken. To be a truster, to be a rester, means that you rely on Him. This is interesting. Trust and truth, they are a kinship of words. They're related to each other. Kids, you have your family reunions that you'll go to from time to time. Sometimes you have a family reunion in the summertime. You might have them around Christmas or Thanksgiving, these times where your family gets together. And you have your cousins, your aunts, uncles, grandparents, your kinship. Trust and truth, those two words are cousins. They have the same root. Okay, the language which the Lord used to write the Old Testament, those two words, they're in the same family. Trust and truth. The Lord speaks truth, and Abram gives his amen to what is spoken. It's the same family. To trust is to rely on a person, a word, a truth. Just as an example, the Philistine king, Achish, he trusts David. He believes David. When David is in exile and he's running from Saul and he goes to the land of Gath and he pretends to be on the Philistine's side, the Philistine king believes David's words. He trusts what David says. What is it to be a truster? It means you rely on what is said. Another example. After the parting of the Red Sea, and the Israelites, they go through the Red Sea on dry ground, and the Lord causes the waters to come crashing back upon the Egyptians. It is stated, Exodus 14, at the end of the chapter, that the people feared the Lord and they believed Moses, his servant. They believed what Moses said. What is it to trust? It is to rely on a person, on a word, on what is spoken. Abram believed God. He relied. He trusted on what was spoken. What is it to be a Christian? It is to rely. It is to trust in what is spoken. And it's said of Abraham, look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Counted. That means it was reckoned. He was considered to be righteous. He was considered. He was reckoned. He was counted as a righteous man. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 13. Certain men are placed in offices of trust. Why? Because they are counted faithful. They are considered faithful. So, Nehemiah 13, verse 13. These men are put in offices of trust because they're counted faithful. Psalm 88, the psalmist says, Psalm 88 and verse 5, I have been considered, I have been counted as those who go down to the pit. He is so low. He is so weighed down. He is so distressed that he considers himself to be among those in the pit. Counted. To be counted something, to be reckoned something, means that you are considered. You're either considered with a certain characteristic, you are associated with other people. I am associated with those who go down to the pit. Abraham is counted. He is considered righteous. Look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him, it was considered with him, it was reckoned with him as righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness means you conform to a standard. Okay, so in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 36, it talks about weights and measures. That the weights and measures needed to be just. You don't go into business with unjust weights and measures and take advantage of people. Just, righteous weights and measures. Righteousness. Righteousness is that which conforms to the standard. The Song of Deborah. The Song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5, in verse 11, she speaks of rehearsing the righteous deeds of the Lord. What are the deeds of the Lord? What are they like? Well, they are righteous. They conform to a standard that is pure and upright. What does righteousness mean? It means that you conform to the standard that is pure and true and right and just, and there is no falsehood. There is no corruption. There is no impurity. There is no lie. There is a perfect uprightness. Abraham is counted upright. He is counted pure. He is counted legally just. He is considered to have conformed to the standard. What does righteousness mean? It means that it doesn't mean that you've lowered the standard and you've kind of slipped by. No, his faith is not a replacement for full obedience. It's not that faith is a lower standard of law. And the Lord says, okay, I know you can't keep the Ten Commandments, so just keep this and that'll be enough. No, that's not what faith is. He is considered righteous, not in his acts, not in what he does. Abraham is considered righteous in who he is. He's righteous in his person. He is considered legally justified. The righteousness of men, filthy rags. And Abraham gets it. Abraham gets it that unless he looks away from himself to another, he can never be counted righteous before the Lord. There is no righteousness of our own. So you, just as Abraham, you must look away from self. You must look away from your own heart, your own deeds, your own works. You and I must be convinced. Here's the call of the gospel. You must be convinced that you have no righteousness of your own, that you have no ability to conform to the standard. That here is the righteous law of God, and He will not lower that bar for anyone, including you. And you and I must be convinced that there could never be enough. We could never do enough to match that standard. And so there must be another. There must be a righteousness of another. If you and I are to be counted, if Abraham is to be counted righteous before God, it cannot be in his own works. It cannot be in his own deeds. It must be through the righteousness of another. And so the Lord will raise up the righteous branch. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, He will raise up this king, this descendant of David, and he will be the righteous branch. And this new king, this Messiah, this seed of the woman promised in Genesis 3, this seed that was promised to Abraham, this seed will be called Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, the Lord our righteousness. Y'all, that's the gospel. That the Messiah is raised up, the Lord our righteousness. Thought it worth our time to go back to verse 6. And for us to consider together, what is the call of the gospel? It is to look to the Lord, to recognize, just as Abram, you have no sufficiency or strength in yourself. None. You must be driven out of yourself. You must be driven to cling to the righteousness of Christ. If you are to be saved, if you are to be brought safely to glory, if you are to be counted as righteous, it must be through the righteousness of another. So, believe in the Lord our righteousness. That is the command of the gospel. Believe in the Lord our righteousness. So what should you do? You look at verse 6. Behold the righteous Lord. What had Abraham done? He had beheld the righteous God. He had heard the righteous God speak those righteous words. He had heard the Lord speak the promises. And what had he done? What was Abraham's echo to the words of God? He believed the Lord. No, what is it to be a Christian? What is it to stand before God trusting? Y'all, it is that you believe whatsoever He reveals in the Word. What does saving faith do with the Scripture? Saving faith responds to what God has said in the Scriptures. When the Scripture proclaims in verse 8, in you shall all the nations be blessed, the heart of faith replies with its amen. Now, through the Word, through the Scriptures, through these written testimonies, y'all, where do you see Christ? Where do you hear Christ? Where do you learn of Christ? Where do you behold the righteous Lord? Y'all, it is here. It's here, through the Scriptures, through these words that flame on the page. It is through the Scriptures, the testimonies. It is through the Spirit speaking through these words. Behold the righteous Lord. And when you behold the righteous Lord, what do you see? You see that there is a covenant. There is this eternal covenant between the Father and the Son. Behold this Christ. This Christ who is in covenant with the Father. And in this covenant, the Father gives a people to His Son. And there is a full provision made in that covenant for His people. Why should you behold Christ? Why should you look to this righteous Lord? Well, because in Him, there is full provision for your freedom from wrath. And in the words of an 18th century Scottish preacher, there is provision to render you perfectly happy. Imagine that, a 1700s Scottish preacher talking about you being perfectly happy. There is a place of joy. There is a place of singing. There is a place of song. There is a place where the shadows are scattered. There is a place where the favor of God falls gently. There is a place where those beams shine. Just as you see the sun shining through the trees in an early summer morning and you see its beams, you look and where do you see those beams of His favor? They fall upon you through the person of His Son. You look to Christ. You look to the Lord, our righteousness. This is what Abraham had done. He had believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. In his character, sinful man, filthy rags, but in his person, perfectly accepted in the Beloved. You look to Christ. No, you cannot measure up. No, you cannot keep the commandments of God. No, you will distrust His providence. You will distrust His promise. You will falter. You will waver. You will wander astray. Your inability to keep the law. Do you know where it was placed? Your insufficiency, your weakness of soul, your frailty as a human. Do you know where it was laid? Do you know where it was placed? Upon Him. Isaiah 53. Upon Him. The iniquity of us all was placed. The weakness of man. The frailty of the human soul. Where is it placed? It's placed upon Christ. Abraham's sinful self. His tendency to cowardice, to distrust, to lies, to saving his own skin, to forcing the promises of God. Do you know where his sin was laid? It was laid upon the person of the Messiah. And he looks away from himself. He believes the promises of God, and that is counted as righteousness. Now he'll spend the rest of his days just as you will, honing, sculpting in your character. He grew strong in faith. He didn't start strong in faith. He grew strong in faith, Romans 4. He grew as a noble, upright man. His inability was placed upon the back of the Messiah. And you are called to receive. The call of the gospel is not go and do. No, the call of the gospel is receive. Simply receive. Receive of His righteousness. Y'all, the whole of the covenant, the whole of grace is found in Christ. Every conceivable blessing you could ever need or rightly desire, where is it found? It's found in Him. Jesus is the administrator. He's the contractor. He's performed the conditions. Behold the righteous Lord. That's the first thing I want you to see. And then last, that you would not only behold this righteous Lord, but that you would also trust this righteous Lord. You will either be a receiver or a refuser. You will either receive what He promises. You will receive what He says. You will receive who He offers. Who does He offer? He offers His Son. You will either receive what He offers, or you will spurn and refuse. Will you be a receiver or a refuser? Abraham believed God. That belief, that is the source of your right standing before Him. It will also, as we move through the book of Galatians, it will also be the source of your transformed life and holiness and piety in Him. Where will your piety come from? Where will your holiness, your transformation of character, where will that come from? You think that comes from within you, from yourself? No, it comes from looking to Christ, trusting in Christ, receiving of Christ. We'll get there on down the road. But for this morning, you must decide, will you be a receiver or a refuser of this righteous Christ? The Philippian jailer asked the apostles, what must I do to be saved? And how does Paul respond? Believe. What's the command of the gospel? Believe. Receive. Trust in the person and the work and the word of the Messiah. Faith is the hand. It's the hand that grabs the cup. Faith is the hand that signs your agreement. Faith is the mouth that voices your consent. Will you go with this man? Will you take this man? Will you be united to this man? You know, faith is the voice that gives your amen and voices your consent. You simply receive. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able. Doubt no more. That same hymn, Come, Ye Sinners, he goes on to say, all the fitness he requireth. So what does he require of you? What does he want you to do to get ready to believe? How do you prepare to believe? What does it say? All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. That's all he asks. And then it says, this he gives you. He gives you that hunger. He gives you that thirst. He gives you that sense of need. He gave to Abraham that sense of desperation and need. And Abraham believed the Lord. What is faith? Faith is not a replacement for the law. Look, the law is the law is the law. And it will not change any more than the character of God will change. The law remains. It remains with this standard that will not be lowered. So then what does faith do? If you must be perfect in order to stand before God, what does faith do? Faith merely clings to Christ, recognizing that you could never keep the commandments of God with perfection and purity. But there is one who has. There is one who has obeyed the law in your place and made satisfaction in your behalf. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that where he is, there you will be also. Faith clings to Christ. Trust in the Lord, our righteousness. Abraham believed God. He trusted the word. He trusted the person of the one who spoke. Receive the word. Do not refuse Christ who speaks from heaven. Receive of the word. Receive of his person. And be found accepted. Perfectly accepted. Once united to Christ, you will never need to make yourself more acceptable to God. Once you are found in him, dressed in his righteousness, you can never make yourself more justified, more accepted, more forgiven. Yeah, your character will be shaped and honed, just like Abram's was over the years, but you can never make yourself more a son or a daughter than you are at that moment. Look to him. Trust in him. Rest in him. It's the Sabbath. It's the Lord's day. Call the Sabbath a delight. the holy day of the Lord, honorable. You go home this afternoon and you rejoice in a perfect salvation, in a complete redemption, and you simply rest in the one who earned your rest on your behalf. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, we would look to you this day, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the covenants, the Lord of our salvation. And Lord Jesus, we would honor you, the one who is bringing many sons to glory. We pray, Lord, that we would never tire of hearing the beauty and the fullness of this gospel. Lord, that we would never outgrow or outlive our love for you, our clinging to you. Lord Jesus, would you lead our souls to rest on this Lord's day at that everlasting spring, that spring of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be found in him, dressed in his righteousness alone. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.